All right. Hi, Chelsea.
Hey Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing so good. Gosh, it's been so long.
I know. Wow. When were you in my classes anyway? 2014 or something?
So I graduated in 2015. So yeah, probably I think I took two of your courses.
Excellent.
And so yeah, that would have been probably what, 2013, 2014?
Okay, so first question, yeah, your year of graduation, so did you finish up coursework then in the spring of 15?
I did, yes.
And what was your major or majors?
So I was a music business major.
All right, great. Do you recall the track you were on? Like management, entrepreneurial, marketing?
I believe I did management, but then I also ended up taking, I believe, all the courses for marketing as well.
Oh.
So I don't think I didn't get the marketing part of it, but I believe I did end up doing both.
Right. I feel like even though you can double major, I'm not sure they let you double track.
I don't remember all the specifics, but I feel like I had most of the marketing courses as well.
Okay, no, I hear that. And what was your principal instrument?
So I was actually a flute player.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we will get to your history later.
For sure.
But for now, tell us about your current job or jobs. So where do you work? What do you do?
Yeah. So I actually have two jobs. My first paid job is I'm an e-commerce manager for a men's apparel and streetwear and footwear retailer here in Nashville. And then my second job is a full-time stay-at-home mom.
Awesome. We'll go first with the men's apparel. You said it's a retailer.
Correct. So we don't have any of our own products. We sell Nike, Jordan, and then a bunch of like designer footwear, designer apparel.
Great. And let's see, is that like a chain store or is it one individual?
Nope, we're one individual store. Our storefront is here in Nashville in the Gulch.
It's in Nashville, you said, Tennessee. Awesome. And let's see, I was gonna say, how big a store, like how many employees?
So we're pretty small. There's only, I think, around 10 employees total, maybe 15 now, because we just hired some more. And
Got
that's
it.
in our storefront, and then we have a warehouse, and then we have our merchandising guy, our buyer, and then myself, the two owners of the company, and a content guy.
To be honest, I wouldn't have thought that a store of 10 employees would have an e-commerce manager, but
Well,
apparently.
so the reason that we have that is because we have a 1,500 products on our website.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that makes a
Okay.
little bit more sense.
Yeah, sure. And what are, so what then, when you say e-commerce manager, I know what e-commerce is, obviously,
Right.
to listeners, but like, what are your exact responsibilities here?
Yeah, so I manage our entire website. I manage all the products on the website, making sure they have, descriptions and that they're linked well and that they're working properly and that they have good photos. And then on top of that, I also do all of the marketing. So all the online marketing, that is. I do all of the marketing for all of the products. So I do all of our ads, both Google and social media ads, and then I'll do all of our email marketing. So I'm kind of an all-encompassed, more than just strict e-commerce. I do all the marketing as well.
Got it. Got it. Terrific. And I don't ask people exactly how much money they're paid, but I do ask them about the structure. I assume this is a salaried position.
It is, yes.
Great. And about 40 hours a week, or?
I think that if anyone were to come into my role, they would probably be working 40 hours a week. I feel like I'm very quick with what I do because I have to be. And I've done a lot of work with like automations and stuff like that. So it was 40 hours a week, and I feel like it's kind of gotten down to more like 25 hours a week, but it's still salaried. So
Oh,
I'm
that is fantastic.
fine
That's
with that. Yeah.
For what
I'm
it's,
very fast with Excel.
yeah, no, if it's about doing it in less time, I will admit that, I teach as a side job on Berkeley Online, and that's like grading, it's almost all grading, and yeah, I get it.
Yeah, where you're like, okay, I'm just gonna fly through this. Let's do it.
Fantastic. And let's talk a little bit about, can I call it your second career? Not
Yeah.
paying directly in money, but it, with some other good rewards, I assume. You said you're a mother of how many children? What are their
Yeah,
ages?
so just one right now. I have one little daughter. She's a year old and
Oh.
she's absolutely incredible. She's my whole world.
What's her name?
Her name is Marlo,
Oh,
and
nice.
she's actually sleeping right now, which is why I'm on the phone with you. But yeah, so kind of balancing that between having a full-time job and being a mom, it's a ton of work. And I would say being a mom is 10 times harder than any career you could ever have that's paid, like absolutely 100%. But definitely doing both is, I mean, it's so rewarding and so awesome. And I'm really, really glad that I had that
I don't
opportunity.
normally ask this question, but I'm going to ask it in the context of you talking about having a small child. Are you married?
I am, yes.
Okay.
And I have the most incredible husband. We're obsessed with each other. And but he works a very demanding 7 days a week career in college athletics. So he works for Vanderbilt's baseball team out here in Nashville, and they are very, very demanding. So I feel like a lot of the time it is just me at home with her. But he absolutely helps out whenever he can.
Oh, I completely understand. My wife and I don't have kids, but let's say, as you can imagine, the academic calendar has its times of peak activity and other times cough, summer's cough, where there's a lot less. And
So thankfully,
volume of housework definitely shifts over the course
yes,
of the year.
absolutely. Yeah. So thankfully, like with his work, like right now they're in season, it's baseball season. He is gone 5 days every other week. But in the winter time, Christmas and around the holidays, that's when my busy season kicks up because we have sale after sale. You know, it's Black Friday and end of the
Right.
year sales, and so I'll be working, 50, 60 hours a week. And on the flip side, he is like, I have nothing to do. I'm going to be home for the next 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, cool. Here's our daughter.
Great. Can I ask really quickly, do you have a family nearby or other people who help take care of
Yeah, so
Marlo?
we're extremely lucky. My mother-in-law is awesome. So she comes once a week on Fridays. And she kind of helps out with Marlo and watches her, and she's the most amazing grandmother ever. And so that's really my time, like that Friday time I have from like 10 in the morning to like 5 p.m. And anything that I've missed during the week, I really zero in during that time.
Okay, I just want the listener to note several things here about what Chelsea has said. One is she has a supportive husband. Two, she has in-laws who provides not 24/7 help, but some regular help. And three, she has one child, and it still sounds like an incredible amount of work and very.
Yes, and that's something I definitely wanted to mention on here is like, gosh, I am so lucky and so great. Like, I'm so grateful that I did it, quote unquote, like prepared the way, prepared my path for this. They say that you need to kind of build before you have kids, and whether that's, build your house, build your community, build your finances. Like, I feel like I really did all of that, and I'm so grateful I did because being a mom is so hard. It's so challenging and so demanding. And having a career on top of that is a lot. Like, it's a lot of work. It is 24/7.
Could I ask one other question again? I don't normally ask people this, but since you talk about being a mom, every child is unique and special, right? But there are some children who have particularly extreme needs, right? Whether it's they're mentally disabled or we have my wife and I have a friend where her kid was like really like constantly sick for her first 5 years and not eating enough. So, like, is Marlo a generally healthy, you
Oh
know?
yeah, Marlo, it, like she's great. She's a fairly easy baby, or toddler now, I should say, but she's really, really low maintenance as far as kids go.
So just one more thing to put on the pile is like you have ticked all the boxes for what makes parenthood easier.
Yes.
And it's still really, really, really
And
hard.
it's still extremely difficult.
Gotcha. And what do you do? I guess it does your job have that flexibility where is it all, let me put it this way. There's jobs where it's all like project based, right? So if your child really needs your attention, you can set your work down for 30 minutes and then, you know, get to it later, versus there are other jobs where you simply can't do that.
My job is incredibly flexible. That being said, we do have releases all the time. So those releases need to be done, at a certain day, at a certain time, because if we put up a shoe, an hour after the fact, like, okay, well, people are going to another retailer to go buy that shoe if it's high demand. So
Got it.
yes, it is like, but I can kind of prep that kind of stuff in advance. So if I know, I'm going to have a busy day with my daughter, then I can prep it the night before. So it's incredibly flexible in that sense. And then also my particular job, my boss very much so is like, I don't want to deal with any of it. Like, you handle it. And I'm like, okay, great. So he doesn't check on me at all, which is awesome for me because I'm incredibly autonomous. But he's, pretty great in that sense. And we just fit well because if I have goals to meet, if I have deadlines to meet, I don't need my hand held in any respect. If there's something that he notices, he'll like ping me on Slack, and that's about it. But,
Gotcha.
it's really flexible, which is great. And I would not
Well,
be able to do what I'm doing without that kind of flexibility.
I will say this too. As you know, I teach economics, and I've done a bunch of reading, especially I think during the Me Too era, let's call it, about gender pay gaps. And, you know, something this will probably be old news to you, but maybe less old news to some people listening, is that. Like, first off, the main pay gap is not men versus women. It's men and non-mothers versus mothers. That, like, the gap between men and women, not women without kids is tiny. The gap between women without kids and mothers is huge. But that, if you then dig in another level, it varies immensely by what career field you're in.
Oh, I'm sure.
And you know, the things that defy, let's say, the things that produce a huge pay gap, one is if they say it's full time, but you're really expected to put in 60 or 70 hour weeks,
Yeah,
right? Whether it's
golly.
a TED sales job or even you talk about your husband's job having those super intense periods, and like mothers just can't do those, you know, if they're the primary, unless their husbands or whatever, whoever's taking care of the kids, right? And then, but then the other factor was, again, was your job something where, like, if you're working retail, you have to be at the store or whatever, like, you have to be there, versus is it more of a project-based job where you have the little flexibility of taking a little time off to deal with kids' stuff and then making it up later? And so, once again, I just want to point out, Chelsea, that you have zeroed in on all the stuff that makes parenting easiest, and your type of, and that, you know, basically in your type of career where you have a lot of project based, it's flexible and the hours aren't extreme, the pay gap between men and even mothers is almost non-existent. So
So for anyone, any Berkeley students listening, if you're thinking, hey, I would love to be a mom and have a career, 100% make sure you are prepared before you have a kid, because you can't be going to a job when you have a kid. I work from home. I work an incredibly flexible like job, and you really have to make sure you have a support system, and because it's really, really hard, and a lot of people can't do it. So 100% build yourself up for success before you hope to have children, because as someone who did do that and waited, I am so glad I did. There are so many moms out there that cannot, function with a job and kids. It's just, and then you have to pay for daycare, and then you have to pay for childcare. It's just a lot.
So again, I just, as I said, you're doing everything right, and life could have dealt you tougher hands, and it didn't. Which is not to
Correct.
say you haven't had your challenges.
Yeah, for sure.
But great. Let's circle back. What's the name of your place you work, by the way?
It's called Rooted.
Rooted. Okay, great. And could you take us through like a typical day? You could either do it as your work day, or even if you want to include stuff with Marlo, we can do that too.
So I'll just my day is the same every single day. So I'll just start from the beginning, but I wake up a couple hours before she does. I'm a zombie woman in the morning, so I need some time to kind of become human. So I get up. My husband usually makes breakfast if he's home, which is amazing. And I take that time. I have my breakfast. I have my coffee. I open my laptop. I get at least an hour and a half, 2 hours of work done before my daughter wakes up. And this is at, 6:37 in the morning. So during that time, I usually check if there's, any releases happening. If I have any outstanding emails or outstanding work from previous days, I get to that. I end up scheduling a lot of emails because people don't like being emailed at 6 in the morning. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I just chuckled.
Oh, yeah. And let's see. So I get that done. My daughter wakes up, and then I kind of do her morning routine with her, get her breakfast, and kind of have a good morning with her. If on Mondays we go to the li our little library class that she does, and she loves it, which is so cute. And then someday during the week, during the morning, we go to the grocery store with her, which she also loves. She's very outgoing.
Or what's a little library class?
It's like a little, like, it's called Babies and Books, but it's just a little cute. Like, they spend 35 minutes singing songs and reading books with the little kids.
Oh,
And
nice.
it's like a mommy and me class kind of thing. It's very cute. So, just something to get her out of the house and socialized. And then, let's see, after that, she goes down for her first nap around 11:30. And then, so between 11:30 and 1:30 typically is when I get the majority of my work for the day done. That's really when I step it into gear. If there's, any merchandising that needs to be done, or any products that really need to go up, or any photos that need to be found, or any ads that need to go up, or any emails that need to be sent out for our newsletter, like all that kind of stuff usually gets done between 11:30 and 1:30. And I'm racing during that time. Like, I am going as fast as I possibly can. And then Marlo wakes up. We have our afternoon together, which is so fun. We do our little lunch, and then I have two dogs, so if it's nice outside, we'll take the dogs for a walk, and kind of just enjoy, hanging out. And right now the weather's starting to change, and it's finally nice out, so we can kind of sit in our backyard and pick flowers. And
Gotcha. By
usually
the
at
way,
during this
do
time, I'm getting
you?
pinged with Slack messages, and because everyone's in the middle of their work day. And so I'm constantly, being like, okay, she's turned around picking a flower, I'm gonna respond to my Slack message real quick. And then
By the way, can
she
I ask, are you in Nashville then or near
I am,
Nashville?
yes. And then she'll go down for her after we do lunch and stuff like that. She'll go down for her second nap. It kind of depends on the day, but usually between 4:30 and 5. And she's down for another hour or so. And once again, that's kind of when I race and I finish as much work as I can. And she wakes up and we kind of go straight into our little dinner routine. Make food for her, make food for myself. We both eat. And then hopefully around then my husband's home. Sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. And that's when I shower because there's very few moments throughout the day.
Wow.
If he's home, then he'll watch her for 30 minutes while I shower. If not, then she's kind of hanging out in the bathroom with me and I'm putting a, basket of toys on the floor while I shower. And then after that, we kind of get her ready for bed, do our night routine, our bath bottle. She's already on sippy cups now, so no more bottles. And read books and put her down for the night. She goes down around 9:30. And then at the end of the day, I either spend the last hour, hour and a half, catching up on work or actually spending a moment with my husband. Whatever kind of the day demands, I feel like it's usually half and half. I'll spend a half hour working and then kind of hang out with him for the next hour and then go to bed.
That is an unbelievably packed schedule, and I just want to point out one more thing for the record that you have going for you. Anyone else listening notice this? You work from home, right?
Yes, I
Like
do.
if you had a 20-minute drive to work and back,
Oh,
there
I couldn't
went
do
the
it.
time with your husband.
Yeah, I could not do it. That's extreme. That's a very, very good, extremely important point is that I work from home. And thankfully, in this post-COVID era, it's so much easier. I've been working from home since I graduated Berkeley. But I did
Wow.
have, and we can go into this when we go into my history, but I did have a few years when I was working in an office, and I will never do it again. I'm
Got
not
it.
a person that functions well in an office. I have to be working from home.
All right. That's great. So, let's pose this question separately for each of your careers, because one of the things to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So let's start with beyond the fact that, as we've discussed, it gives you the flexibility where you can do this. What is it about working as an e-commerce manager that you enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy it. I think if I had the option of not working, I wouldn't work. But as far as if I had to have a career that paid me money, I do like my job. And it provides me the flexibility. I'm definitely more so enjoying the marketing part of it. My background's in marketing. I like how it's kind of a puzzle in ways to, target the audience and see results. Than the actual e-com like product side of it. But that's different for everyone. I was managing an intern who was the exact opposite. All she wanted to do was play with products on the website and organize them, where I could not care less about that. But in general, yes, I do like my job. If I were to move on from what I'm doing now, I'd probably pursue something more in marketing. But
Sure.
this is great for what it is.
And specifically, so you would, besides the fact your background is in it, is there anything about marketing itself you find particularly enjoyable?
Say that one more time.
Is there anything in marketing itself that you like? What do you enjoy about marketing?
Yeah, so like I said, it hits that puzzle part of my brain, where
Okay.
you really have to kind of whittle down what your audience is and what you're trying to communicate and what you're trying to sell and what piece of content you're going to use for it. And if it's not working well, let's say your ads aren't working well. Okay, why? Why aren't your ads working well? Is it your targeting that's off, or is it your content that's off, or are you on the wrong platform? Should you be reaching out on TikTok instead of Facebook? I like that kind of stuff. I think it's fun.
Cool. And
Yeah.
then sure, it sounds like having a kid has made your life far more challenging, can we
Yes.
say, and far a whole lot less time for yourself, despite having a whole lot of things going for you. So, what is it about being a mom of a young child that you enjoy?
Oh my gosh. I mean, all of it. It's extremely challenging, but then all of a sudden, your daughter laughs at you and you're like, this is the best thing in the world. I wouldn't say I always wanted to be a mom. I definitely, when I was younger, I wanted to be a career woman. But as I got older, I was like, you know what? Being a mom is it. That's what I want to do. And
Could I ask if you came to that conclusion before or after you were with your husband? Okay.
before for sure. But and definitely when I met him and we got married, it was like, oh my gosh, we can have someone that's like a little piece of you and a little piece of me. And our family is just my whole world, like my whole world. My daughter is my whole world. But I mean, I love it. I'm a lot of people don't, have a really, really hard time with it, especially with little kids. It can be really challenging because, all of a sudden it's like everything that can go wrong will go wrong in a single day, and you have to have a lot of patience. Great example. We were just at a baseball game 2 weekends ago, and she peed through her diaper on her second outfit and then peed all over me. And we're both sitting at this baseball game covered in pee with nothing else to wear because there's no hand dryers in the bathroom. And like that kind of stuff doesn't bother me at all. It will bother a lot of people. But I wouldn't change any of it for the entire world. I mean, just hanging out with her and seeing the world through her eyes and watching her learn and develop and become, part of her person, like become into her personality is incredible to watch. It's truly amazing.
That's great. So we're gonna take it back now to 2015 as things are wrapping up Berkeley. I mean, maybe you are thinking you're gonna be working as the e-commerce manager and wherever hires you ends up being men's wear, maybe not. But put your like bring us back to sort of headspace as things are wrapping up Berkeley, what you were thinking about your career. And then we'll take it one step at a time, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also in terms of like where you were at mentally thinking about your career.
So when I got out of Berkeley, I was, as I'm sure many, if not most, Berkeley students are, so determined, so incredibly determined. I'm gonna do the music industry thing. I'm gonna do it. I moved to Nashville because I don't love New York. I can't afford it. And I grew up in LA. I don't love LA. I can't afford it. And so I ended up in Nashville out of just wanting to be in the music industry and not having another option. I have ungodly amount of student loans that I had to figure out at the time. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do whatever possible to figure out how I'm gonna work in the music industry.
Do you mind sharing it what quantifying ungodly student loans means?
Oh yes, I can absolutely. When I got out of Berkeley, I had $123,000 worth of student loans.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty ungodly.
They are paid off now. I paid them off before my 29th birthday, and it's major, major accomplishment.
Yeah,
So,
that's a lot.
yeah,
120, what did you say it was?
123,
123.
and that
Okay.
was at, I believe, 8% interest at the time. So,
Oh my God.
yeah, oh yeah.
A little quick math means you're paying like 10 grand a year in interest.
Oh yeah. So I like my minimum payment on my student loans was about $1,500 a month,
Oof.
minimum. And I was so determined to pay off them as soon as possible because if you let that interest sit, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you will be paying them until you die.
Oh yeah, I get it. So, yeah, sorry. So what's your plan as you move to Nashville? You want a music career, you have all this debt, you're like, I gotta do something. What next?
Yeah, so I found a place to live for about $300 a month. I got it down from like 400 to 300 because I told the owner of the house I would make him cookies.
Ha! Great.
Yeah,
Smart.
exactly. Which I'm pretty sure he was just kind of creeping on college students, but whatever. And but it worked at the time. So I just started, trying to find anything that I could. And something about me is that I'm a terrible networker. I am not, that's not my strong suit. So I really didn't have much to go off. I had a few friends here from Berkeley, that I would kind of touch base with, but I kind of just had to hustle and find something. And I ended up finding a job. Sorry, before we go into back my background, can you remind me what the second part of that question was? The original
Well,
question.
it's a kind of like both what you're doing for your career, but also kind of where you are mentally in terms of your career. In other words, sometimes people I speak with have this point where initially they're really pursuing a music career, and then there's like something that ha changes their mindset, right? And now they start broadening their search or
Yeah.
shift entirely, or you know, if they're what they start to want. Yeah, what they start to want changes. Like at the, but you put us in your headspace pretty well. You wanted music, the other cities weren't affordable. You go to Nashville and you have a bunch of student loan debt. So I feel like so
Yeah.
far we're doing
Yeah, but
pretty
I
good.
didn't let that stop me. Golly, I did not let that stop me. I was so determined. And so my first job I found, like my first big girl job, because I hustled and grind. I was working two, three jobs for like a year. I was Ubering and working at a salon and just a bunch of random stuff, anything I could to pay my bills. And I think about a year, maybe less than that. After college, I found a job working for a social media agency whose primary and pretty much only client was Live Nation. So it was a Live Nation contractor, doing all their social media for their venues, which, as you know, Live Nation owns pretty much all the venues across the country.
Right.
So I was running social media for five venues at the time.
Wow. How did you find that job, by the way? Was it just application or?
Yeah, I found it on Facebook. There was a group that was like, I want to say it was like music industry jobs or something like that in Nashville. And
Okay.
they posted a listing and I applied for it and they called me back. I was applying to so many places, like, and you kind of have to this day and age, especially if you want a more flexible job like I have, like you got to apply
Sure.
everywhere. Anyway, so this company, which is awesome, and I'm still in touch with them to this day. But I was working there. I, had my venues. I met some great people. They were the first ones doing like flexible remote work before, way before COVID. I know I wouldn't say the first ones. I'm sure there was other companies, but like it was just very uncommon back then.
Sure.
So they had an office here in Nashville, and they're like, you can come, you can not hang out here, you can travel, whatever you want to do, as long as your stuff gets done, that's great with us. And so that's when I learned that I can't function without flexible work.
Like
Anyway,
you tried the going to the office, you're like, yeah, that's not happening.
so what I did back then, I mean, I was what, 23, 24 at the time. What I did back then is I would go in to the office maybe like 2, 3 hours a day. I would go in at like 11 and leave at like 2.
Okay.
And that was great because it was like I got to touch base with everyone. I made friends in the office, but I wasn't there strapped to my desk and I wasn't able to, not enjoy my life. And then so I'd work for that portion of the day and then I'd leave and I'd go hang out with friends or go outside or whatever. And then at night, kind of when things were settling down, I was eating my dinner and I would kind of do whatever other work that needed to be done for the day. And anyway, so I did that for a few years, but it just did not pay very well. And which made sense because they were offering this whole like flexible remote thing, and I was like, okay, I need to find something.
That's not necessarily the reason why a job has to pay less
Right,
well,
that
but
absolutely. At the time, that's what their hook was like, you won't get paid a ton, but you'll have all this benefit, and so that was their trade-off, which, like you said, it doesn't necessarily mean that I get paid a really great amount being in the job that I am now, and I still work from home and have flexibility. But at the time, that's kind of what their little hook was.
I feel like the implicit hook was you're in the music industry.
Yes, that too. And so
But
after a few years working that job, I ended up kind of coming into a little bit of a unicorn position. I met with an agent at CAA, which, as I'm sure everyone listening knows, is one of the biggest talent agencies in the industry. And at the time, CAA was kind of creating their own artist development wing under the CAA banner, where they would offer kind of label-ish type services
okay.
for under like artists that weren't big enough to have labels yet, but then additionally to kind of sell unique experiences and value to their bigger clients as well. So something that they were trying, it was this agent was the only person doing it. And I miraculously got an interview with him. I bypassed HR somehow and got
So
an interview.
you were applying to other jobs at this point.
Oh, I was applying to so many jobs.
Gotcha.
And I got an interview straight with him, and he and I clicked really well. And I got hired on as his assistant.
Nice.
And that was extremely interesting because, like I said, in this touring talent agency, it was me and my boss that were working this, two-person department that had nothing to do with anything else.
Well, and it's effective. Like, if you're still doing that, I'd be calling you in music and we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Correct. And so I'm like, this is my big break. Oh my gosh, I'm finally doing it. I am working in music. I have a really cool job. Like, this is awesome. And so I started out as an assistant, and then a year or so kind of worked my way up to a coordinator, provided value for those in the office, and just kind of became almost my own little separate department. My boss had like his projects going on. I had my projects going on. And so this is actually a crazy story, but March 2020, the beginning
I
of March,
remember that month.
yes, the beginning of March 2020, very beginning, my boss comes to me and he says, "I accepted a job at Apple. I'm going to be the head of country music radio at Apple." And I was like, "Cool. What does that mean for me?" And he goes, "We'll find you something." And so
Did I find you
little bit
something at CAA or at Apple?
at he said, "We'll find you something like we'll find you something outside of CAA."
Gotcha.
And he, so he wasn't going to take me with him to Apple. I don't think that was an option, which wouldn't make sense because I wasn't in that country music space,
But it
or
also
country music
sounded
radio.
like CAA wasn't going to continue this project without him.
Well, so I'll get to that in just a second, but a little
Sure.
background of like my time at CAA. I learned a lot, and I don't want to bash CAA because I had such wonderful people I met and such great experiences that I've had. I was absolutely miserable. I was so
Gotcha.
miserable. And I think it was partially the environment that I was in. It can be very toxic working at an agency. And
Okay.
like I said, I don't want to bash CAA, but
It's okay. It's just funny because a moment ago you were talking about how you were like, wow, I've really made it. Here's my real life.
yes. And so it was this dichotomy of like, okay, I made it. I'm here. I'm doing it. And this other part of me that was like, this is awful. This is horrible. And the environment of having to, be the first one in and last one out, and great story to kind of my like aha moment of like, this is the reason I have to get out of here.
Right.
There was an assistant who was working a few desks down from me, and she would constantly get berated by her agent, which made me so sad because mine was great. But anyway, it was just hard to watch. She was at her desk, like chained to her desk. You never saw her out of her desk. And there was one day I went to the bathroom and she wasn't there. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe she went to lunch or whatever. But I'd never seen her away from her desk. So I pinged it as a little weird. Came back a couple hours later. I noticed people started going up to her desk and asking her, like, are you okay? Like, are you all right? And come to find out, she was 26 years old. Come to find out, she had had a stroke in the office, had gone to the hospital, had come back to finish out the rest of her workday. And I'm like floored. I'm like, you're 26 year old, you just had a stroke in the office, and you come back to finish your workday. That is absurd. Like, take the day off, my God. And
Yeah.
in addition to that, her boss sticks his head out of his office and goes, hey, so and so, are you going to the show tonight? My jaw hit the floor. I was like, I could not believe what I was witnessing. I can't make this up. Like, it was the most bizarre thing. And
Yeah. Wow.
after that, I was like, I can't be in this. Like, I cannot be in this environment. This is not for me,
And
you
can I
know?
just ask, did that anecdote, that incident, was that like early 2020?
Probably, yeah,
Yeah, okay.
probably. I don't remember the exact time that happened,
But
but
like a little bit before your boss says, I'm leaving, and
yeah,
you're kind
probably like 6 months or so, if I were to guess.
of. Okay, sure.
And you know, during this time, I'm still like battling with myself of how miserable I was versus, you know, this is everything I've ever wanted, and this is such a cool job, and I'm doing things that
Can I
you
ask?
try to do, you know.
Yeah, and also, can I ask? I don't need a number here, but like you did talk about having lots of student loan debt. Was the pay like adequate, or was it
No,
really good? No,
pay was
no.
not adequate.
Okay.
And they were working on that at the time. I don't know what it is now, but they were trying to like work at it. But you know, it was also hourly pay, and so it was like a lot of people stayed extra hours because they needed to pay their bills.
Sure.
So anyway, I'm wrestling with myself. I'm in this environment that I'm not happy with, and I'm like, you know what? It's probably just this specific job that I'm not supposed to be at this company. And so my boss leaves early March 2020. His last day in the office actually is the day the entire CAA Nashville office is shut down, which is crazy.
Good
But
timing.
yeah, so I and thankfully I had m made some or I'd had provided some value for myself in the office itself. So I had, you know, essentially had my own little department servicing agents and clients within CAA. And because of that, I was pretty tight with the partners in the CAA office, and which was extremely valuable. But that week of everything shutting down, I'm having meetings with them and them being like, okay, we're going to push your resume wherever you want to go. We'll make it happen. Which was so valuable. And actually funny, another funny little tidbit is that I had a meeting with one of the partners, and later that day, an email gets sent out that there had been a COVID, exposure, and people in the office, you know, we should just shut down. And about a 10 minutes later, I'm on this random call with a bunch of different weird like connections in the office, and the partner of the company is like, yeah, the exposure was me, just FYI. Just
Oh.
thought you should know. Anyway, I'm going on a rant, but so they're trying to send out my resume everywhere. I have meetings with Red Light. I have meetings with Big Machine, different labels around town, trying to figure out where I best land. And
I mean,
getting
a lot of places are doing hiring freezes when COVID hit.
well, so this is like I said, it was about a week or so before everything shut down.
Got it.
And I had this really great meeting at Red Light, and then 2 days later it all shut down. And so I follow up with them and they're like, yeah, no, the position's on a holding pattern right now. And I'm like, cool. And as I'm leaving the office at CAA, the head, like the head of business operations, is basically like, we don't have a job title for you. I'm like, yeah, no. And so I floated for about a year at CAA with no job title. I was just, I had no direct boss, I had no job title. I was just like my own individual floating entity within CAA
I
during
mean,
2020.
still being paid the same amount you're being paid, I assume.
Yes. I mean, I was still doing my job.
Right.
It was just, it looked so different because then everyone was at home. And so, yeah, I continued, the office shut down, everyone started working from home. I continued just doing my job and providing value in whatever way I could because obviously things were insane that year. And for a touring agency, I have no idea how, but 2 months later, they laid off about a third of the CAA Nashville office, and including like the entire Christian music department and the entire EDM department. And somehow they kept me around. I have no idea why, because I had one foot out the door, and they knew it. I knew it. And so it was like a really weird thing. But I mean, I'm glad they kept me around because I needed the paycheck. But yeah, so I worked from home for CAA for another year. And then during that year, I had a really big epiphany. And I was like, you know what? I don't think it's just CAA. I don't think I would be happy anywhere in the music industry right now. I really don't. And I was like, I really don't like the way I feel about the work that I'm doing. I thought I would love working with artists and working with clients in that regard, and I just didn't. I truthfully, I found a lot of artists like just very emotionally immature, and I didn't want to babysit people.
Sure.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm still making crap money. I have so much I want to do with my life, and I feel like I just need to let this go. I feel like I just need to let this dream go. I lived the dream and it didn't make me happy. It didn't bring me joy. And I was like, I think I just need to find something else.
Can I ask just a side thing again, because you talked about it. Were you married at this point? Had you met your husband at this point? Where, what was that status?
Yeah, so my husband and I met back when I was working my very first job with the Live Nation contractor. He
Okay.
was working there too, actually. And so we had been together for several years by that point. We were living together. We weren't married yet, but we were living together. We had a house
Okay.
together.
So it was look at the path, that path was pretty apparent anyways.
Yes.
You probably had an eye on that too as you're thinking about your career.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna put my career aside to be a mom. That wasn't it at all. Or I'm gonna put my career aside to be a wife. Like those two things didn't even occur to me. It was 100% more so like, I am not happy. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I don't like how I feel. I don't like going to work. This is not enjoyable to me, and I don't like this industry anymore. And that was
Yeah.
so hard because as a former Berklee student, like I put all my eggs in this one basket. Like I did the music industry thing, I did the music business thing, and then all of a sudden I'm just gonna let that go? Like what? So it was a really, really, really hard thing to conclusion to come to. And I'm so glad I did because I'm so much happier. But
Sure.
And I talked to my husband about it because there's still a part of me that feels like I failed the music industry. And then he's like, "What are you talking about? You literally had every label calling you. Like you did the thing. Like you worked in it. You did it. You decided that you didn't want it anymore. And that's okay. And that's growth and that's maturity. And sometimes, you know, what you want at 17, 18 years old is not what ends up bringing you happiness, you know? You can't always get what you want, but you get what you need, you know what I mean?"
Yes.
So
So you come to this conclusion, and then what?
and then I just started applying to different jobs. I knew I wanted something flexible and I didn't know what that looked like. Pretty much everything I'd done had been in some kind of marketing sector. So I was like, okay, well, that's my best chance of getting something paid that, you know, will bring me joy. And my first job out of CAA, I worked for a jewelry company, that was
And this
entirely
was again just like a random application that hit you.
random application. Yeah, I'm really good at finding jobs online.
Evidently, I'm impressed.
Most people are most like it's do what I say, not what I do. Make your connections. Make connections, make friends. Don't do it my way. It's a lot harder. But yeah, I found a job online and I worked for that company for a little bit. It was even a more toxic environment than CAA ended up being. So I left there relatively quickly, and then ended up where I am now. And
Another random application that
another
hit
random application.
you. And that you were basically hired into your current position. Could I just ask, had there been someone in your position before that then they left and the position's open, or were they like creating it brand new from scratch?
They were creating it brand new from scratch. They had no one really touching their website. They had their merchandising manager that was kind of putting up products here and there, but he had no background and he had no idea what he was doing. They had never done anything at AdWise. They had never done anything email marketing wise. So all of that was brand new.
Right. So they're like, we need to hire a person who has some experience and knows their stuff.
Correct.
And that's where you came in.
Yes.
Great. And that was, you said you've been there about 3 years. Is that right? All right. Great. And we're speaking here in the spring of 2025. So cool. All right. And here you are, right? I
And
mean,
here I am.
wonderful. So we'll move on to the third part of the interview of three. And let's just say I ask you this question. I can guess your answer, but I'm ask everybody it anyway. I was going to say ask in the kind of knowing how full your life is. But and I'll also preface it with there is no right or wrong answer. These days, we'll define these days late 2024 into 2025. What, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
So it's complicated. I had a grieving period, a very long grieving period after I left the music industry, where I think I was really bitter and I was really upset with myself. And I want to preface this by saying I was never a performer, even when I was at Berklee. It was just never my thing. I went to school for the music business program. So I
Right.
didn't have that like love of performance that most people at Berklee have. That just never existed. So
That's definitely like even the music business majors are, I feel like it's about a 50-50 there.
yeah, exactly. So with that being said, when it came to like listening to music or enjoying music, there was a good several years where I didn't listen to music at all. And it made my husband sad. It made me sad. I didn't go to any concerts where, you know, in my early 20s, I was going to concerts multiple times a week. And it's actually been in the last like probably year and a half, 2 years where I've really come out of that and I'm enjoying music again. I'm loving music again. actually being a mom is I'm using my music side of the Berklee education more than I ever have being a mom.
You
Because I
be
am
like
singing.
singing to your child
Oh
or
yeah, I'm singing to that little girl all day long. Like, and that's what she loves. Like, that's what calms her down some for some reason, because I don't have a good singing voice, but I bust out my solfege and I can do it. But yeah, and so seeing and experiencing music how she experiences music, I think has helped with that. And
Sure.
so we've gotten to a point where, like, even just last night, we'll have little dance parties in the kitchen, you know? And that has really healed that part of me, I think. So it took a while, and it's kind of like honoring a part of myself that used to be, you know?
Sure.
Of like, okay, I can enjoy this without having it feel like it needed to be part of me, you know? So yeah, I would say it's good now. There was a while there where it wasn't so good, but I would say we're back to being on good terms, music and I.
Good, good. Thank you. So, next question is thinking about your current role working in, as the online marketing manager. And people come into that field from many different backgrounds. But in the context of having gone to Berklee, is there anything you feel your Berklee experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
To prepare me for what I'm doing now, there were courses that I took that I felt were very business oriented. I'm trying to remember his name. There was one professor that I feel like I took marketing from, and
If you
Italian
get
guy.
it, let's see, there's Joe Maglio,
Yes,
maybe.
yeah.
Okay.
I
He's still there.
he had great courses. I really enjoyed his classes. And
Nice.
apart from that, I mean, obviously it's a little difficult now, but at least when I was at CAA, like the touring classes and the business courses, like it finally put all of that background knowledge into context. And so that was really great. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
My very first job in marketing was I worked at the Red Room. I was promotions and marketing. I started off as an assistant and made my way up to a supervisor over a couple of years, but
Nice.
having that was the basis of everything else in my career. And Susan Scotty, who I think is still there, she's the marketing manager for the Red Room and the BPC. And she was a great mentor, and she did such a great job of giving us a little bit of everything in marketing to learn. And for, you know, if there's any Berklee students listening now that don't know, yes, you can work for the Red Room and you can work for the BPC and you can do booking for them and you can do marketing for them. And it's a cool gig. They pay you and it's fun more than anything. It's good experience and it's fun. And so that was really, really great to learn and to not only learn, but then have on my resume when I started applying for real jobs.
Sure. That's great. Okay. So let's flip that question around now, because Berklee gave that one degree, the bachelor's in music. You went there knowing that you're doing something, at least, related to the business side of the music business. And as we know it, you use your music with Marlowe. So you're still kind of doing stuff sort of related to your degree. But all that said, when you look back at your Berklee educations, where is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful if you taught me this back when I was at Berklee, and they could have, and they didn't. Was there anything missing or incomplete in your education?
Trying to think. You know, I think it's difficult because you don't get the, you can always get the background knowledge, but you don't get the experience And the experience is, I think, for a good chunk of people, is where we really learn everything. But Berkeley offered those kind of opportunities, just like I said with the Red Room. I don't think there's anything off the top of my head where I'm like, I really wish they would have taught me this at Berkeley.
Okay. All right. Another satisfied customer then. So cool. But there have been other people who also said nothing really. So.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great education. I personally would have preferred to have less music courses, but it was a music school, so
You kind of
like,
went there knowing that was the package, right?
yeah,
Although,
exactly. Like, that's a me problem. That's not a Berkeley problem.
are you aware that the music business department now gives a BA degree as well? That's like a
No, I
bad,
did not know that.
yeah,
Which, that's awesome.
that started just a couple years ago. I think it's a specific like music and technology innovation, and it's a BA degree. And I can't remember if they do any music at all, or if they do, it's a lot less.
Yeah, that's yeah, because there were times where I was like I said, I wasn't a performer and it was rough. I'm pretty sure the only w reason I passed my proficiencies was my final proficiency was because I cried in the middle of it. Exactly.
You're like, I just want to manage artists. I promised never to pick
I
up a flute.
was doing a scale and I was being graded by a guitar professor, which was just silly because I was a flute player. And he goes, I couldn't get the scale. It was different fingerings. And he goes, just move it up a fret or just move it up a half step. And I was like, you don't understand. It doesn't work that way. It was pitiful. My performances at Berkeley were pitiful.
Oh, points for self-awareness.
Yeah.
All
I have
right.
a lot of great strengths, and that is not one of them.
Sure. So hey, look, you worked in music, right? You hustled for a year. You worked in music. It wasn't what you were hoping it would be. You got into some better jobs. To the extent, your life is extremely challenging now, but I will say you brought a lot of it onto yourself and you set yourself up for success with it.
Yes, absolutely. And that's so important is, making sure that you have, if you have an end goal or what your end goal is, and not let, the immediate things get in your way of that end goal, because there were so many times where I could have been taking more money being in office somewhere, but then, oh, looking at 2 years down the lo road, I do want to be a mom. What is that going to look like?
Well, then you're already answering the question, which is, what advice do you have for your fellow Berkeley grads? And you can frame it both for generic ones, but also for, people who are thinking about becoming parents in the intermediate future.
I have so much advice. I'm
Let her
trying
rip.
to pick. Yeah, definitely. I heard once at a I was on the Berkeley field trip to Nashville, and one of the speakers was a songwriter, and he said, when I, start any song, I write at the top of the page what the objective of the song is. And every single line I write, I have to make sure it feeds that narrative and feeds that objective, which I think is great songwriting advice. And I also took it as very good life advice, is every step along the way, make sure you are still working towards that ultimate end goal that you want. And for me, it was definitely like joy and happiness. I wanted to be joyful and happy. And even though I had this persistent, drive in my head of, I have to work in the music industry, I have to work in the music industry, I have to be successful, realizing that that wasn't serving my line at the top of the page, I think is so important. And then additionally, like, gosh, you got to set yourself up for success for sure. Like I mentioned earlier with kids and stuff, like be so picky who your partner is. I could not be doing this without my incredible husband and his family. And gosh, just don't be afraid to be like, okay, I've been working towards this music thing. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's not. That's okay. Like, I remember hearing at speakers at Berkeley being like, if you can work and do anything else, do it. And I remember thinking at the time, I can't do anything else. I will never be able to not work in music. Like, this is my thing. This is it. But it ended up not being it. And that's okay. Like, things change. You grow, you learn. Don't be afraid to, learn more about yourself. My gosh, that's like the most important thing, is that had I really delve into this piece of me earlier in my life, like, it might have made things a little easier. And I wish I had, but it's okay that I didn't, and I found out eventually. I figured it out eventually, and things change, and that's cool. But you really have to know and learn yourself so well. What you're good at, what you're not good at, what you need, what you don't need. Like, I need to work from home. A lot of people can't work from home. Like, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. Network as much as you can, because I suck at that. And my husband's the exact opposite. And now he's so successful because he knows all the best people. And it's, just, but learn what you like, what you don't like, what you need, what you don't need. Figure out that objective for you. And then, listen to all of these podcasts that Kevin has, and figure out what makes you, even if it's not the coolest title job or whatever you're doing, like, figure out if you think the day-to-day of that would make you happy. Because that, at the end of the day, is all that matters. Like, no, I don't have the cool music industry job where people ask, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm in the music industry. And they're like, oh my gosh, so cool. Tell me all about it. What about these artists? Blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't have that anymore. And that's fine, because the people that are in my life now, I know want to actually be there for me and hang out with me for me. Not because I have a cool job. And it's just life sometimes. So I feel like I'm
Got it.
ranting, but that's
No,
my big advice. If any Berkeley students want to reach out and talk to me, get my information from Kevin, you're welcome to have it.
sure, I typically post the link to LinkedIn on people's profiles. So, all right. And then I guess at this one, you have talked a lot about parenting and all that. So let's focus this one on your career as the digital marketing manager. So I guess somebody who's maybe not yet doing that, but is thinking it's a good career. Let's even say, someone graduate who might be thinking about becoming a mom and saying, like, wow, a job where I can make decent money and I have that flexibility. And maybe if I get good at it, I can do it in less than 40 hours. Like, okay, like there's a lot you and I discussed earlier, how, especially for your circumstances in life, you're in a great type of position. So, for someone who's not yet doing it, but is thinking about it, do you, as a possible career, do you have any specific advice for them?
Anything in marketing, and I feel like this is kind of just anything in general, but especially marketing, as far as career-wise, I feel like starting in an agency is a great place to start, because you learn so much. Agencies are really the best at what they do, and they're efficient at what they do. And people hire them for a reason. So it working in an agency can be a little bit miserable, but it is a lot is very valuable. There, like, job postings now, like anything in music or music in marketing, you'll see like agency experience preferred.
Gotcha.
So I would say
Interesting.
for that part of it, start in an agency. And for kind of the latter part of it, of like this, wanting to get into it and this flexibility of it, these things exist. They definitely exist, especially in a post-COVID world. It's a lot easier to find flexible jobs now than it used to be. They're posted all the time. That being said, they're also like extremely competitive. So having people that you can hit up and tell, hey, I'm looking for someone or I'm looking for something, like, is so valuable. And I feel like that's really pushed at Berkeley, and I didn't listen. And so I'm pushing it again. And also saying that not only do you have to reach out to these people and have a conversation with them, but then also follow up and stay in touch with them. And that's what I really failed at, is reaching out to people, staying in touch with them, being on good terms with them, and being friends with them. That's what I learned with networking, is that it's just being friends with people. And making as many connections as you can, because ultimately that'll help you get to your goal, whatever goal that is. And then for the flexibility, kind of working from home part of it, in order to work from home, in order to have flexible jobs, you really have to be on top of your stuff. You really have to be self-motivated. You really have to be autonomous. You really have to make sure that, if your boss asks you for something, you've already gotten it done. Like, and that's, I think, why my boss gives me so much leeway and so much flexibility, is that literally just about anything he's asked, I've already been on top of it. And, you have to really notice things that need to be done and anticipate needs before they need to be done. And
Gotcha.
that's how you really kind of earn that leeway, is so that, your employer doesn't feel like they have to hold your hand. They know that you have everything taken care of. But that starts with you.
All right, wonderful. So I have one last question for you, Chelsea, which is you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. For anyone, any Berkeley students out there struggling mentally, you're not alone. There are people out there who struggle really, really, really bad, and I was one of them. And there are so many resources, so many, and I was one of those people who had all the resources available to me, and I used all of them, and it took a really, 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 really long time to come up with kind of what worked for me. And so know that, there is a rainbow on the other side, and there is hope. And if anyone out there listening needs someone who's been there and needs to talk to someone who's now not there, after 15 years, then by all means reach out to me. So that's like my main one, is just if any kind of platform I have, I want to make sure that anyone listening knows that there is support and there are people, and it's very, very common. So
Oh,
that's
well,
kind of.
that's really big of you, Chelsea. Well, hey, I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm really glad we were able to make this work. Thank you so much for making the time. It's
Yeah,
great
of
hearing your
course. Thank
story.
you, Kevin. I really appreciate you reaching out to me.
All right, great. Well, best of luck with everything.
Thank you. You too. Have a great
Hey,
rest of your day.
you too. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.